Stephen Sahuni in Latakia, Syria. And later we'll be talking to Mark Taliano, who is just back from Syria, by the way, and was there when the bombs were falling, as Richard Nixon used to say. I was there when the bombs were falling. He actually wasn't, but anyway. And then we will be talking to a representative of the Auto Workers Against Wynn. They had a demonstration yesterday at Queen's Park. Congratulations, that was great. It was very interesting. Two good demonstrations yesterday, and the sun came out for both of them. The protest against the US-UK-France attack on Syria, and by the Solidarity with Syria People and the Hands Off Syria organizations. They had a great demonstration at the US Consul. And at 10 in the morning, running to 2, was the Auto Workers Against Wynn. And by the way, 3 NDP MPPs, spoke. And we're going to, of course, get into that with Mr. Doug Penner. But it's an interesting story. I hope people start to follow this because... Phil, you may know about this. It was this legislation from the Liberal government.
Right. When the Liberal government made a sweetheart deal with the auto industry, with Jerry Diaz's blessing, to exempt auto workers from some of the improvements in the Labor Standards Act that was proclaimed earlier this year. And they had various excuses for it, but it was like a dirty little deal. There's no good reason for them to have done it. By the way, Sid Ryan is pointing out that the federal Liberals were having a convention this week, and who pops up behind their microphone but the president of the Canadian Labor Congress?
Yes.
Just acting like he's just at home.
You know. Also a UNIFOR member.
Yes,
of course. Has been asked by people to step down, and he has actually had the gall to ask others to step down who are UNIFOR, because UNIFOR has withdrawn from the Canadian Labor Congress. But I think there's a kind of a cutoff point. If you have a six-figure income, it doesn't apply to you.
It doesn't apply.
Yeah,
that's right.
No. Yeah. That's they throw everybody on the plane off except for the first class customers. No, that's quite a story, and we really look forward to talking to Doug Penner about it. By the way, there is a Facebook page, you can find them at Auto Workers Against Wynn. There is, and all the information is there. You can even see the speeches given by the representatives.
By the way, I want to point out to you that they're calling themselves auto workers. That's another thing that Diaz did, of course, is that he took away the name from the union, gave it this meaningless corporate sloganeering name, UNIFOR, which is not even a word.
He meant unicorn.
Of course, that I was.
That's
wondering.
What he was looking.
What he was looking for
was unicorn.
Yeah, unicorn, the largest phony private sector union in Canada. There you go.
Yeah, so there you go. But that's the voice of Phil Conlon, and he's answerable for the voice of Phil Conlon. Yeah. And he has a program each Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. Classical Underground, and we will be, as I say, we're trying to reach Stephen Sahuni. I think that is the Syrian Army chorus, and Phil Conlon conducting. Phil knows a lot about music. Phil, we have an announcement, don't we?
Yes, next Monday night at the New Vision United Church, 24 Main Street West, Hamilton, the Reverend Naeem Atik will present his new book, The Bible, Justice, and the Palestinian-Israel Conflict. It's at tickets are $10 in advance. You can go to hcsw.ca. That's Monday, April 30th at 7 p.m. And of course, the Hamilton Stop the War Coalition has been tireless in promoting peace and understanding on Middle Eastern issues. And this is a very good. Esteemed cleric.
Do we have a second thing? There?
We do have a second thing as well. Okay, we'll give them both to you. A book launched by Stephen Gowans in his new book, Patriots, Traitors, and Empire, and there's a second part of this title. The book is about Korea and the struggle there, and that's Monday, May 14th, same location, 7 p.m., and it's free admission, 24 Main Street West, Hamilton. And he will also be speaking the following day at 12:30 at McMaster University In a room to be determined, yeah. So Stephen Gowans is on a book tour, and I know we'll get him here in Toronto, and we'll get the book.
Yes. I mean, his timing is exquisite.
It couldn't have been better, right?
The first question is, what the heck is going on in the talks? Yeah. And Stephen is, by the way, that's gowans.wordpress.com.
Well, I guess there's a danger that peace is going to break out, and that has the Americans very concerned. You wouldn't want that.
Well, it's very that's a subject very hard to speak of. I've given up on the thought. I just work toward it. If something good happens, I was just reminding you earlier, and people follow this, Bill Clinton entered into very serious commitment to North Korea. And then, after years of confusion, he basically backed out. And, they've been through this, and we ourselves, people who want to see the region denuclearized, sort of like we had a lot of promises and a lot of disappointments. So I think it's wise for all of us just go to the talk by Stephen, get the book, and keep doing your own homework, because this has been a very difficult question. At the end of the day, I think it's going to turn out, it really turns on the obvious thing that nobody likes to talk about in the West, which is, why are American troops on the peninsula of Korea where they do not belong? And why have they been there since the end of World War II? You know, Americans, the dumber ones who get the jobs writing editorials, have always said, well, you know, the communists, they never pull out, and these guys, they never leave. Well, they never left Korea. They've been sitting there in Korea. At one point, they had 60,000 troops. That's the Taylor Report. Forgive me, my okey-doke. I grew up with that, and I can't get it out of my system. We will be talking shortly, we hope, with a gentleman from, I even call people gentlemen too, of the auto workers against Wynn, and they had a demonstration yesterday, Sunday. It was Sunday, 10 a.m.
Yeah, Phil, could I just note that this American thing of bombing a country's pharmaceutical industry, that's not new. Bill Clinton did it to Sudan, yes.
But he did that to save his marriage.
Yeah. Oh, well, then it's worth it.
You remember?
Yes, there was, of course.
The issue of the intern?
Yes.
And so he said, well, I'll bomb somebody. And it was a pharmaceutical plant, which he called chemical weapons. Yeah. And the guy who owned the plant said, baloney, I'm taking you to court. He won. He got his damages.
Oh, I never knew that.
But by the way, the people of Sudan lost their malaria medicine. Yeah. But it was, at least it saved Bill's marriage. And that was, you have to have priorities straight. This is Taylor Report. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the Taylor Report. And that was Doug Penner, and the group is Auto Workers Against Wynn. And I get their point, don't you, Phil?
Well, yes, and Phil, actually, I could tell you a little anecdote that I've already learned. Of course, this is the kind of legislation that lawyers love because it creates work for them. So the legislation exempts the auto industry from the new enriched requirements, the Employment Standards Act. The problem is there are some manufacturers, well, there's a lot of problems with it, but one of them is there are manufacturers in Ontario who manufacture something for the auto industry and something for other industries. And in one case we know of, there's a factory that 10% of their business is the auto industry, but that employer has decided he's exempt. He gets the exemption. And so his workers, most of whom will not get those days. Yeah. So, and of course, that's just the way this thing is written. It was probably done in the back of an envelope at the last minute in order to please some banker called up and said, you know, our competitor, this, my God, if you give people 2 days off,
me too.
Yeah, they're gonna
you
run.
You gave him that.
Yeah, they're gonna run away. They're gonna move their plant. You know, if they want to move their plant, they'll move their plant. I've always believed that. You know, it's like, and you could be doing a great job, and don't care.
It will be in the middle of the night. The Baltimore Colts.
Of course, yes, right.
Or the Cleveland Browns, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Phil, it's sounding like David Letterman. I'd like to see the paperwork on that. How would I find that story? Where is that?
That's a story that I know because I work for a union. So that discussion has already come up. Right?
If I don't know the handshake, I can't find out. Okay,
no,
we'll have to.
But I'm watching, we'll ask you to come and further elaborate. As it develops, we'll keep our listeners informed. But it is a good example. Has if you put a loophole in a piece of labor legislation,
trucks will go through it.
That's right. The employers have a lot of lawyers, and they will they'll go to town with those loopholes. They love them, you know. And it usually works for them because one of them probably wrote the loophole in the first place, right? And called up the assistant minister and said, "Stick this in your bill and do us a favor," right? And it gets done, you know.
Yes, that is a very important part of lawmaking is to understand that element. And there's people dying out on writing about that phenomenon of the, for one thing, almost, what is it? Certainly in the U.S., practically everybody is a lawyer. Who's in the Congress and Senate, and the rest are evangelicals, as far as I know.
But sometimes they're both.
I hate to think that's possible.
Yeah, I know what it is.
As a lawyer who takes a degree of literacy, I don't mean to. I love some evangelicals. Yeah. Let me make that point.
No, we understand the kind of the particular variety of evangelical. Yeah,
I like the kind of Abraham Lincoln's father and mother who belonged to a group called the Hard Shell Baptists. Mm. And the Hardshell Baptist said that slavery was a sin, and they lived in Kentucky, and they had to be chased out of Kentucky by other church people, other Baptists who didn't like the Hardshell people talking about slavery, which is this is an esoteric point, but just to say that little Abe, at the age of 9, was standing there in a church where people were declaiming against slavery in a state that had slavery. But my point being those guys were pretty tough Baptists, and
John Brown was a evangelical Presbyterian
of a type, yes. And so now we've paid back for making any smart remarks,
right?
And that's the way the ball bounces. And this is CIUT, the Taylor Report. I say again that we're very glad that we had the guest Stephen Sahuni from Latakia, Syria. Mark Taliano, who was just back from Syria. That was wonderful to have him. And on the Syria matter, there's two simple points I would like to make about this. And that is that Canada has got to end sanctions against Syria. It has to reopen the embassies. Let's get our diplomatic blood flowing to save us from the other kind. And we should join the war against terror, which we claim we are, but these are terrorists, so we have to join with Syria, who's fighting terrorists. And the other, I'm afraid we have to bring the bad news, that since it's the UK, France, and the United States, we also have to join the war against colonialism, because those three powers are ignoring the United Nations Charter and international law. And why? Because they're superpowers, which is to say they're colonialists and imperialists. We have to say, no, join the world. Canada's got to support those who are fighting colonialism in its latest, nastiest phase. This is the Taylor Report, and we are very grateful for the technical assistance. See you next week.